listening to CFAC 960 AM, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Media. Also streaming at sportsnet.ca/960. Are you ready? Calgary, the boys on the Big Show are talking sports right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
I was making a lot more money here, and the thing was, is with the way that my ankle responded last year, not very good. And to go through the injury and the pain of every week, and, you know, those are tough decisions they have to make on a week-in and week-out basis. So they didn't know what kind of Nick Lewis they were going to get this year, and it was pretty much in their best interest to move forward. And when you have guys like Jeff Fuller, Eric Rogers, Joe West, Marquay McDaniel, I mean, they're stacked at receiver, and they have so many great ones that I have a lot of respect for. They're like my little brothers, but, you know, it's time for them to move forward, step up, and start making plays as well.
Nick Lewis, not his first visit, Pat, to McMahon Stadium this year, but his first as a player.
First time he'll actually be on the field.
On the field. Yeah, he was here a couple of weeks ago.
As a fan.
As a fan.
In like the third row.
Winnipeg? The Winnipeg game? Does that sound about
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, the last home game. So, yeah, Winnipeg.
It's a big deal, isn't it? I think it's a big deal. I think we talked yesterday about where the CFL is right now in terms of does it have, or maybe it was a couple of days ago, does it have a superstar player? No. Competitiveness seems to be the draw. That's ups and downs. It's hard, I think, sometimes in this league to distinguish yourself or to kind of carve out that space for yourself if you're not a quarterback or a running back or, you know, somebody like that. But not to say receivers have, you know, Milt Stegall is Milt Stegall in Winnipeg. But I think Nick Lewis is a generational guy. I think Nick Lewis is somebody who's going to be, you know, associated with the last 10 years of Calgary Stampeders football, if that makes any sense. Two Grey Cups. He grew up here, literally, figuratively grew up here. I think he's a guy that you honor. When it's all said and done, I'm sure that you'll get a nice round of applause. He's been at times controversial. I think at times we in the media tend to migrate to Nick because he is one that has no problem saying, he'll give you a soundbite, he'll talk to you, no problem there. But even his football speaks for itself, doesn't it?
I think from a the consecutive catches mark that he just continued to add on to until, was it last season of that? Finally came to an end. Yeah.
Yep.
So that was truly a testament to just how consistent and how consistently utilized he was. Like it was every quarterback. It was Kevin Glenn. It was Drew Tate. It was Bo Levi Mitchell. And obviously for the longest time it was Henry Burris. And he was a guy that you could rely on for very important and difficult catches. Like he's not the guy that you just throw the ball up and he'll come down with it because he's not the tallest guy.
But
you could throw it into traffic, and even if he's playing against linebackers or DBs who are 3, 4, 5 inches taller than him, he fights through it. He finds a way. He picked his spot so well, the way that he was able to find the soft spot in the middle of the defense, in the middle of the field, I always thought was really educational to watch because he does understand the game and really get that part of it to such a high degree. So, yeah, I think I would absolutely agree that his football speaks for itself. He was never the guy that everyone league-wide talked about as the best guy in the CFL. You know, it was Jamel Richardson or it was, you know, you go down the list. There's so many other different guys it could have been. But he, for the Stampeders, was always a guy that you knew was going to come away with 50 to 95 to 100 yards per game. He's going to catch 4 or 5 or more passes. And he helped you win football games in such an important way. So, yeah, I absolutely think the football speaks for itself.
Yeah, it's you know, he's the other part of it, Pat, for me, and I wrestled with it all day. I'm not sure how big a deal it is to anybody other than me, but it was kind of neat to kind of to come in at the same time that Nick came in, roughly when I got here, and watch him. He was trouble. He was a loudmouth, you know, braggart. I remember being up at Shanks North and he came in and he sat down and he referred to himself as I'm the TO, I'm the Terrell Owens of the CFL. And, you know, And another time, a couple years later, I don't know if you remember, when Mike Petry was still writing for the Calgary Herald, Mike Petry would put together an awards section. And I think it was most hated, I believe, was the award, but something like that. And Nick won it, I think, 2 years in a row. And I remember Nick being in the Hot Stove Lounge kind of breaking down right in front of me, talking about, you know, what, you know, that meant, or, you know, kind of offended him, and he didn't want to be that guy. And then there was all of that off the record back and forth. I mean, TSN's off the record with G. Roy Simon, mm-hmm. and, you know, and Copeland and the Stamps versus the BC Lions and everything. There's always controversy, or even the TD celebrations, right? You know, all the got a little over the top for some people, even here in Calgary. The fans, some fans didn't like it. I loved it. Some fans didn't like it, sort of thing. But I was thinking today, I think I saw this guy grow in front of my eyes from being this smart ass to being a leader on this team, really maturing as a man. And that was kind of cool to see, because football, as we talked about with Rodney, there's exceptions, but football's not a sport in which there's a lot of longevity. He has longevity.
By the end there, I mean, he was taking Anthony Parker and different receivers under his wing, and he was certainly the one of the leaders on the team. And you know, it kind of happened kind of organically and naturally, and yet it was pretty cool to watch, because by the end, he was one of the core members of that leadership group. He right. was one of the guys that you didn't just go to anymore after a game to get a soundbite. You went to Nick Lewis, and you're like, he's one of the guys you have to talk to, because he's one of the spokesmen for the team. It was it's him, it's Keon Raymond, it's Juwan Simpson, whoever the quarterback is. Those are kind of always the guys. After a game, win or loss, you're like, let's go find out what Nick has to say about this game. Not because he's going to yell, and every once in a while he'd yell and do something like, you're like, oh, I got to play this. But most of the time, it's like, no, he's going to break it down. He's going to say, we weren't good enough, or this is the reason we won. And he'll give the, like, what I really appreciated about him, and this is, you know, more behind the curtain stuff than anything else, but by the end, you'd go into the Stamps locker room after a win, and he's talking about everybody else. Like, he's talking about the game that Drew Tate or Henry Burris or Bo Levi Mitchell or Kevin Glenn's had. He's talking about his running back. He's talking about the offensive line. He's talking about, you know, another receiver. He's like, man, if it's not for and he truly grew into being that, even though he was maybe louder than most, he truly was a team guy there. And sometimes he would lament not getting the football enough. And sometimes he would be ticked off about not getting targeted enough. But it was never that it took away from the team. He was a consummate team guy in the final. I would say 5, 6, 7
Oh, he's, yeah, he really was. He also did, how would we phrase this? He tried as hard as he could, and I think he was successful, quite honestly. He tried really hard to rise above the preconception of what a CFL athlete or star was, that, well, they're just CFL players. They're gone. You know, the outside of quarterbacks, there wasn't really a lot of not mainstream notoriety, but Nick Lewis Nation, the tailgating, Calm Before the Storm. Mm-hmm. He did all of these things. He tried all of these things. Some were more successful.
He tried podcasts. He tried
You know what I mean? He really went for it, knowing that, you know, your window is of a celebrity, if you will, or your notoriety is rather short, and particularly in the Canadian game. But that didn't seem to deter him. I mean, I'm trying to remember the social media platform that he and Copeland tried from their hotel rooms on some road trips. And I want to say that was 07, maybe 08, in that range. It wasn't, I don't even think it was Twitter, and it certainly wasn't Periscope. But they were trying something. I remember that. They were just constantly trying things. And you grew to appreciate that. You know, it's easy to say, it'll never work or whatever. But Nick never allowed that to kind of get in the way.
Yeah. I mean, I remember.
Or doesn't.
Or still doesn't. I mean, whether this is last year or not, we're not sure. But
right.
And I mean, the work he did with us, the South Beach Trio, or just coming in and talking for an hour. And
the nicknames.
I think it was the Super Bowl of this year. The Patriots and the Seahawks.
Seahawks
called in and broke down the Super Bowl for us on our Super Bowl preview show, which I thought was kind of like, I was like, I texted him like, hey, what do you want to do? He's like, yeah, absolutely. Call me. I'm in Dallas. Let's do it. Or Fort Worth is where he lives. And it was cool. They're like, oh, there's Nick Lewis. We don't know if he's going to be a Stampeder next year, but absolutely willing to call in and talk for 20 minutes about the NFL. So he turned, I think that he really just kind of grew to like and enjoy being part of Calgary and being part of, and he's no longer here. It doesn't.
Yeah. Well,
he comes to games, I guess. He no longer plays right. with the Stampeders, but I think that he really enjoyed kind of truly embracing being Stampede, wearing the cowboy hat, and being back here in the off season. And he wasn't here for the entire off season, but he'd come back and, yep. and do all kinds of things. So, good on him. And I'm, you know, he had a really good game against the Stampeders in Montreal.
Yep.
And you know how much that touchdown meant for him.
Yep.
And you can imagine he's going to be pretty fired up tomorrow as well.
Yeah. In terms of legacy, when it's all said and done, I mean, he goes up on the wall, doesn't he?
Like Calgary's Ring of Honor or whatever?
Wall
of Fame?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I mean, try to think any reason that he wouldn't. I mean, he's a longtime Stampeder. He's there for...
You know what it is for me? It's... I always want to be a little bit measured about the guys that we got to know or I got to know or, you know, next thing you know, I'm campaigning for Randy Chevrier to be in the, you know, the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. Probably not, right?
Chevy, that's not a real friend. I'd campaign for you.
Yeah.
Rob wouldn't, but I would.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying, that he was good to us, and sometimes I don't want to let, you know,
he was a really good receiver, Robbie.
He really was, right?
Yeah. And I mean,
a possession receiver and a guy that blocked probably as good as anybody.
There were a couple years there. That, yeah, he was a possession receiver, but he was busting off 120, 130-yard games. And not games like that, but like games total, 120, 130 yards. So that he actually had a couple of years where he was a premier receiver. And not to say he wasn't before, but he was with Kenyon Rambo and Jermaine Copeland and the group that they had the deep threats. They had maybe the more speedy guys and Nick was used as a very, very good possession guy. But when those guys moved on, Nick was able to come to the forefront and show us that, okay, well maybe he is more. And I think that that is something that I'll always remember is, yeah, he's definitely more than just a possession receiver. He's very good at that part of it. But he was a pretty darn good explosive slot receiver when they needed him to be that too. So, yeah, I think he goes up on that wall.
And as a proud member of the Dad Bod Society, it's nice for me, now that David Wells is retired, to look out on the field and see an acclaimed athlete not looking like a cookie-cutter Mr. Olympia.
Is
that a nice way of putting it?
What is Dad Bod?
What is Dad Bod?
I don't know what it, like, why is it a thing?
It was.
Did Drake coin it as well? Like
no,
we're going to talk about later on.
You know, but quite honestly, I think that I think it was just due. I mean, we've run out of other things, so we kind of had to invent something. So it really hit home for me after a hard. You're going to find this hard to believe, Pat. So if you have a seatbelt, put this on. There was a little dust up in the newsroom with me and a couple of news people.
You?
Yeah.
Never.
I know. It never happens.
That's why I sit on the other side and I put headphones on.
I know. But I objected to someone, somehow referring to fathers in and becoming one in a negative manner. So I've become somewhat attuned to this new trend of dad bods. And while it'll only last a very, very, very short time. Ride the wave while you can. You, sir, do not have a dad bod.
Okay.
I do. It involves probably wearing your pants up a little higher, a little bit of a gut or a lot of a gut, and a very noticeable phone. Like, it's got to be on your belt.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So that's part of it.
That's part of it, yeah. And despite what you hear, the rumors to the – I have yet to find the entire female race as a whole find it sexy. I believe there's some on our side who are promoting it as, yeah, they do. I have yet to come across. So
I just know that people I've seen it on Twitter, like hashtag. I'm like, what is this? What is like? And I don't really like. I don't go and look it up.
I'm trying to. Oh boy, I'm gonna. You know, you're too young to remember the Pet Rock.
No, I remember Pet Rock.
Okay, well, yeah. It's kind of like that. It's like it's kind of cute, and this is cool. And why didn't we think of this before? And it's over.
Right.
Now it's done. Right? Like. trust me, by the time September rolls around, we're not going to be running around going, hey, look, he's got a dad bod. He's rocking the dad bod. Actually, Boomer was probably the first guy I know to have the dad bod.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He'd be the poster child for that.
He's taking questions on his Twitter right now.
Oh, it's not going well. It's not going well.
No?
No. Not going well.
I may have had to mute it for...
Did you? Yeah.
It was a little bit too much there, Boom. I had to put your old Twitter feed on mute. I didn't unfollow because that's disrespectful.
No. No, hey, look.
Uh-oh.
He's a man of the people. He is a man of the people.
He didn't sniff it.
He didn't. Later on...
They haven't even sniffed it.
Later on...
What's up, Pat?
Here we go. And we can't help ourselves. Ben Nicholson-Smith from Sportsnet will join us. The trade deadline has come and passed.
It has.
In Major League Baseball. Alex Anthopoulos continued to add pieces and parts to his Jays club, which probably looks radically different than it did.
Five major leaguers in, one major leaguer out. That's kind of your prototypical. Yeah, Reyes is the one major leaguer out. I mean, Daniel Norris has pitched in the majors, but he wasn't part of the rotation or anything like that. So really, it's five major leaguers in, one out, because you bring in LaTroy Hawkins and Troy Tulowitzki, and Hawkins is pitching for him, pitched last night in a 5-2 win. Tulowitzki's played two games. Price is going to be your ace whenever he gets to Toronto.
Right.
And now today you brought in Revere and you brought in Lowe, and there's two more, an outfielder and the relief pitcher that everybody was, okay, so you got your shortstop that nobody thought you were going to get. You got the starting pitcher you needed to get. Now what about your reliever? And so Anthopoulos says, well, how about Lowe from Seattle? And now Revere from Philadelphia as well. So five major leaguers in and one out. Pretty impressive haul. And now it really is all about you better make the playoffs.
But by my count, and Will, maybe you want to jump in here, off the top of my head, eight pitchers went. Eight minor league pitchers, is that
one,
right?
Two, three in the Tulowitzki deal.
Three. So is that nine?
It's eight or nine. I have to
because
double
three
check
went
on
for
the,
three
on,
went for low, right?
Yeah.
And then three went in the Tulowitzki, or two went in the Tulowitzki deal?
I believe it was three.
Three in the Tulowitzki deal.
And two for Price, or three?
Three.
So now we're up to nine arms.
Yeah.
And there was two, I believe, in the Ben Revere trade.
Okay, then. So what is that? I mean, truly.
Shai Davidi tweeted earlier today that it's pretty much an extinction now to find a left-handed pitcher in the Blue Jays organization.
Really?
Yeah.
What does that say about prospects? Or how they
take a couple more years to build them up. You better hope this team wins for three or four consecutive years.
Do we have that clip from old Greg yesterday about prospects? Did you hear that?
Yeah. Well, I was in the room.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry. Yeah. He,
I'm a very memorable person, clearly.
No. For some reason, I thought you got up and left at that point. I cannot deal with Greg Zahn anymore. No, I thought you went to get our first guest, is what I thought.
But I did hear the comment about how, don't tell me about they gave up too much for the
Right. I mean, and it, which is kind of counter programming to the, ooh, Alex Anthopoulos doesn't want to do a lot because he doesn't really want to mess.
He gave up a lot. Whether he gave up, they're all fair prices, but five major leaguers, you gave up a lot to get.
But how many of these guys does he now, and Will, you're welcome in on this, how many of these guys does he now control? We know he controls Tulowitzki, and we know he controls, not Price. Is Troy Hawkins on an expiring deal too?
Yeah, he's set to retire at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Which, either, why? Because he's 65 or the contracts?
He's done. He's 42.
Okay. And what about Rivera and what about Lowe?
Lowe is on I want to say he's got another year. And Revere is, I know this for sure, Revere is signed until the end of the 2017 season.
Okay, so they got
two guys.
So they got some control there.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because you don't want to be back. Where are you going to be next year? Restocking again?
Well, you are pushed all in. For sure,
you're all in now. And I support it. You support it. We all support it.
But now it's okay. You're all in for this year, and you probably have another couple years of being able to think, okay, these moves will affect us positively for two or three years. But yeah, now it's all about replenishing. Like, you got to make sure that you're replenishing your system. And I mean, look, it's part of what an organization goes through. I mean, take a look in the NHL. Yeah, some of the really good teams have depleted their systems.
Right.
Pittsburgh doesn't have much of a draft pick cachet. Their system's kind of been wiped pretty clean with some of the deals they've made. Chicago's traded away a lot of prospects to get to where they are. So
true.
To get
San
there,
Jose was doing that.
San Jose
right?
was doing that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So you have to do it if you're going to want to. Sometimes you have to do it anyway if you want to get to a certain level. The Flames are probably going to have to be faced with some of these decisions over the next 2 or 3 years too. So for the Blue Jays, now is the time to do this. If they were doing this, you know, 2 years ago, okay, well, maybe you're like, but this is like, you're a couple years removed now from the huge Marlins trade. Like, we're not that far removed from that. Like, we are starting to be a little removed from that deal.
November 2012.
So, yeah.
Oh, really? So yeah. 3 years ago.
So this is the third season of that deal.
Right, third season, because, of course, 13 seasons when they had them. Last year, they made a few changes. This year, they bring in Wilson.
Donaldson,
thank you. So, you know, that's the one thing about Alex Anthopoulos. I know he gets a lot of grief, but it's not like he sat there and let moss grow under him. You can debate the merits of the deals, and I think a lot of people do with the Florida deal, but right now, today, he's got a lot of shine on him, right?
If they miss the playoffs, he'll probably get fired.
Oh, for sure.
It won't surprise me.
Right.
But if they miss the playoffs, don't you have to look at John Gibbons more than you have to look at I mean, Alex Anthopoulos, and maybe that's putting too much credit or putting too much importance on the manager, but if your GM goes out and
How come that keeps coming up? Why this year?
Why?
That importance of the manager. I mean, we got one nationally syndicated broadcaster who got suspended early from leaving his job because he said some really stupid things on that topic. But that's
which really had nothing to do with the topic. It was such a weird analogy for him.
If you haven't heard Colin Cowherd, that's go Google it. All the news is there. But and you're not the first person, Pat. I've heard that from other people. That you know, I heard a lot of people.
It's the same thing with hockey coaches, though. Like sometimes, how important is the coach? Is he the reason they're losing? Or that's basically the only point I'm making. Like so if they miss the playoffs, is it on Gibbons because Anthopoulos gave him all this to work with? And he couldn't put him in the right positions to win. Is it on the players? Well, I'm very curious as to where the finger gets pointed.
How's the guy in Florida doing? Because the guy in Florida never had any on-field experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he fired the manager and he took over. He was the general manager and he took over as the field manager.
Yep.
How's Florida doing? Like John Gibbons is John Gibbons. He doesn't do anything in terms of exciting me. He's a retread. You brought him back. But the guy you ran out of Toronto prior to this, because he was terrible, led the Red Sox the next year to the World Series. So I'm not coming down on one side or the other, Pat. It's just funny that you said it the way you did, because I've heard that so much in the last 2 weeks, and I don't know what has set that off. But that seems to be one of the topic du jour. Everybody's really looking at managers going, how much? What are they impacting?
I certainly think they impact it more than Mr. Cowherd does.
I don't think you were trying to make the same asinine point that he was.
No, I was not. My point was just, okay, well, where do you point the finger?
Has he missed?
Are you putting too much on the manager to say that if they miss the playoffs, it's totally his fault? Or if all of a sudden guys go into slumps of 2 months, is that on the manager? Is that on the player?
With the Jays, and correct me if I'm wrong, not my team, don't care. Don't care. Really don't care. And if you're wondering, I don't care. But
who is your team?
The Expos.
Sorry, who?
The Expos.
Do they play games?
That's fine. Have at it. Oh, you guys are really tough once Rodney left, right? You weren't.
Yeah, you had one guy on your side.
You weren't pretending to play the violin then.
although when we had the gentleman, now I can't, the...
Jonah Carey?
Yes, when we had, I gave him a little bit of a hard time again.
Fair enough. Expos, okay. But no, my point being, look, but Will, you can stay on this one. Is this, at no time this year, unless I'm missing this, has there been controversies about the way Gibbons has managed? Has he been making mistakes? Has he been not using pitchers correctly? Has he been, I know there was the Jose Reyes issue earlier on when the broadcaster got after him. But, I mean, has Gibbons' decision-making been called into question this year?
His first couple months he had, there was some question with the way that he was using certain guys in the bullpen. But I think it was also more of the fact that he really didn't have, enough arms to do the things he wanted to do, because I think he, did the bullpen – managed it masterfully last night in that 5-2 victory. I know, you know, Estrada had a run of 15 consecutive outs and then all of a sudden gives up a two out single. The game's 5-2 and Eric Hosmer comes up to bat, who's a left-handed bat, and Estrada's a right-handed pitcher, and he was able to pull him despite the fact that he was, you know, having a pretty good game and conserve that 3-run lead. So I think it was more to do with resources than his actual management of the bullpen, but that was one of the biggest criticisms early on in the season, but it seems to have disappeared as of late.
But Pat's right. Pat's right. If this team doesn't make the playoffs, he's gone. If not, both of them are gone.
Just for me, it's...
Oh, Gibbons gone for sure.
If Anthopoulos is run out of... Like, what more could he really have done here? Like, he has assembled already the Major's best offense, and that was before Tulowitzki comes in. And all he's... Like it was... The one thing that I still don't criticize Daryl Sutter for is what we were talking about yesterday. Jokinen and Leopold,
that's what everybody here wanted.
His team was in a spot where they were poised to make a run.
His coach was junk.
And they weren't going to beat Chicago.
They weren't, but Mike Keenan, the league had passed Mike Keenan by. And that decision...
But the KHL has not passed him by.
He's winning over there.
But Daryl went for it. And it's like, so I will freely and gleefully criticize him for the second Jokinen deal. That one still remains, but the first one, he went for it. I liked it at the time, so at the end of the year, I'm not going to sit here and pile on and say, how could you make that deal? If you like it at the time, you kind of have to live with it. So Alex Anthopoulos has gone out and put his team in a spot to win.
But again, it's what. Where's your clock at right now, right? Because we both agree, we all three of us agree, everybody agrees that this is not a reloading, rebuilding team. This is it. Either you do something.
Now's the time.
Either you do something or it's going to fall by the wayside. And then it becomes a rebuilding team. Or you're faced with the same situation next year or whatever. This is not a team.
You put your team in a spot to win, to be in a decent winning spot for the next few years.
Well, I mean,
today.
And what's happened this week.
Well, and your schedule is definitely positive with 26 of your final 31 games against divisional opponents and 13 of them against the team you're chasing in New York. So, you're set up beautifully.
Which means you're likely going to end up 6 games up on the Yankees. Is that what we agreed on? Or something like that?
If they sweep all 13,
right,
they're going to be in a great spot.
They still have a tough time winning at Yankee Stadium. So
that old team did, not this new team.
By the way, here's
the David Price.
Here's 2 minutes of gold from Greg Zahn.
I'm here to tell you the first part of it. I'll tell you the only reason why people are prospects is because somebody in the baseball world has told you that they're a prospect.
Right.
Most of the people that are, you know, banging away on their, you know, Twitter accounts and their Facebook accounts, they're not out there in the minor leagues. They don't go and watch all these games. They believe the hype just like everybody else. If you read Baseball America and all these other propaganda publications, they're trying to sell their commodity on you. They want you to be excited about a guy like Daniel Norris. They want you to be excited about Hoffman when he finally makes it to the big leagues. Not only that, but you want the other general managers to think that you have quality products as well. So when it comes time to make these kind of deals, they're interested. To me, prospects are nothing more than just media hype. They haven't been to the big leagues. They haven't done anything of substance for any length of time at the big league level. And I'm here to tell you that most of the people that are dubbed prospects in this game are misses. They flat out fall on their face. So when you get an opportunity to trade names for what really is like a proven commodity, you do it every single time. You can reload every single year in the draft. You could reload as you could trade Troy Tulowitzki next winter for a mittful of prospects to some other organization. Just because he's here doesn't mean he's going to play out his 5 years. There's always a deal around the corner to be made for prospects. The good news is every year there's a new batch of 18 and 21 year olds out there that could be drafted and signed. You're never going to have a shortage. So, but there is a shortage of guys who are likely going to be in the Hall of Fame if their careers continue the way they are. And we just got two of them in trade. You guys are both likely Hall of Famers. If they continue on the path that they're on right now, they're likely to be Hall of Famers.
You agree?
Well, I'm as passionate as Johnny was yesterday.
By the way, that's straight gold.
But you know, the theory of it is,
yeah,
the main crux of the theory is, to paraphrase, prospects aren't anything until they do it in the majors. And Tulowitzki and Price and right, such have done it in the majors. I can totally agree with the way he's coming from, specifically knowing where the Blue Jays are right now.
Ben Nicholson-Smith from Sportsnet will join us at 4:25. We'll talk about the Major League Baseball trade deadline, which is passed. When we come back, he is our CFL insider, but don't kid yourself. He has been front and center with everything that the Blue Jays have done this week. Arash Madani joins us next. Don't forget, going on right now over at Winsport, the Hockey Canada National Team Summer Showcase. Barry Madori is going to join us at 5 o'clock, talk about the under-17 program this weekend. The junior program will take center stage in next week. World Junior Prospects taking on Russia and the Czech Republic in 4 games down at Winsport. Check it out, hockeycanada.ca, for the schedule and for tickets. We're going to be there next Wednesday. Looking forward to it. When we come back, Arash Madani, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960, talking sports all the time. No radio? No problem. Download the Rogers Radio app and never be without Sportsnet 960 again. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Calgary, the boys on the Big Show are talking sports right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
A little later on, some baseball talk for you. I want to say hi to our good friend, Paulie, from Big Chief. He was at Stamps today. There was a little incident. He tried to give me
a shirt.
No, he tried to give me some. He tried to give me some product. He gave me some product. So as I'm interviewing Chevrier, because, of course, he's my go-to guy, I was apparently holding the bag at the wrong end. Guess what? Ooh. Yep, that's exactly it.
Turn it back up. I love that Bootylicious song.
Oh, that's not me.
Destiny's Child is the best.
Okay, you want?
I know it's
No, that's not what I'm doing. You're teasing my old man. You want my old man story of the day? Okay.
I actually quite like Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac are one of my favorite bands.
Here's my old man story of the day.
Okay.
Got home last night from my hour and a half waddle, and my oldest is sitting on the chair.
Who's now how old? 17?
17, yeah, I know. Sitting on the chair with the TV on, but she has her iPhone, Pat, turned with the screen vertical facing the television.
So the screen is like they're talking to each other.
So I'm like, what the... are you doing? Turn on some lights, because, of course, I still believe that you got to watch TV with lights on or your eyes will go bad, because that's how I grew up.
I think it's actually proven medical science.
Turns out her best friend is camping. So she FaceTimes.
That's awesome.
She FaceTimes my daughter because America's Top Singers or Top Dancers or whatever is on. And so she's camping, and my daughter is FaceTiming her, showing her our TV, letting her watch. So her parents, my friend, my daughter's friends, her parents, take her camping to get her away. Go out in the woods and wilderness. And, of course, Roger's here. You heard the commercials? Well, no, Chain Lakes, you can get texts in Fort McMurray. We're everywhere. So they're all calling my daughter.
I'm updating my spreadsheet in Chain Lakes.
That's right. So they're FaceTiming on the iPhones, and she's pointing the iPhone, so they're all watching Howard Stern and then everybody, America's Talent Show or whatever. And I say, oh, Rob, you're just saying that. No, I don't know what it is, but
AGT, America's Got Talent.
Right.
And that's because I'm a Stern.
And we have it on City TV, right?
I believe that is a City
Of course
show,
we do. Man. Yeah, it's a Rogers show. That's my
Howard, Howie.
That's my life.
So Heidi.
I remember back to my
Spice Girl.
My dad going, I don't think you should be renting those VHSs every weekend. I think a movie now and once in a while, that's okay. You can watch that. All right, every once in a while, you know, maybe you can go to the arcade. My kids, and I'm sure that's illegal in some, that's kind of streaming, isn't it?
I'm sure there would be copyright.
I mean, well, does baseball let you do that? No, without the express written consent of Major League Baseball and its rights holders.
Now, I don't know if they would be able to police individual one-to-one streaming like that, but...
peer-to-peer? Is that peer-to-peer?
Might be peer-to-peer.
Is that peer-to-peer?
So what? So let's see how up on what 17-year-olds are into.
Yeah.
What are your daughter's shows?
Some ghost show on MTV.
Yeah, I'm not going to know that one.
No. Pretty Little Liars? Does that sound right?
Pretty Little Liars,
yeah.
I know.
Okay.
That's only because some of the girls who work here right. watch it, and the one's always talking
about
it.
Oh, the one that drives me nuts, being a hockey guy and a sports guy, that frickin' Dance Moms. They can't destroy that show quick enough.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Enough of the problems and the challenges of raising a 17-year-old daughter. Very pleased to have the busiest man in all of sports
Who's
entertainment.
Also raising a 17-year-old daughter.
Oh, so he knows, he feels my pain.
No better father than Arash Madani.
Arash Madani, our CFL insider, joins us on the big show. Hello, sir.
Who do you think would be a better father, a better parent? Steinberg or me?
That goes without saying.
I don't know if you can have a winner in that one.
I would say that would be rock bottom on both
of them. Oh, yeah, I don't know if there's a winner there.
No.
Those kids are screwed for life.
I mean,
absolutely.
You might be a little bit of an absentee father because you're always working.
Yeah.
But I like
I'm
your
glad that's why you think it is.
No, I think your I like your principles and I like how you're grounded, so I think you could bring up a child properly. You just wouldn't be there.
Yeah. Okay. And how about Steinberg?
We don't need to go down
I have to work with him every day. I think everybody knows how I feel about that.
I think we know how bad
you know, I'd be. Hey, look, he's still got time. He's not in any rush. There isn't a clock on him.
There you go.
Right?
I just learned how to do laundry like 6 years ago. So I mean, let's
and it's funny because it's true.
Yes.
that's not an exaggeration at all.
It's not exaggerated at all. Have you had about your fill of baseball here this week? I'm not sure this was the week you were expecting.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've probably done 300-400 baseball games in my career. I can't remember the last time we've had four consecutive days of press conferences. It's been wild, but it's been a lot of fun, too. I mean, this is kind of why you do all this stuff, right? Suddenly they actually have themselves a shot.
Well, let's cleanse your baseball palate with a little football because week six started last night. And a pretty impressive win for the Bombers. They take out the Lions 23-13. Drew Willey, again, gets absolutely destroyed last week, comes back and plays again, throws for 269 yards. What more did we learn about Drew last night?
Well, we learned, hey, this guy's a competitor. He's a gamer. He's all of those things. When you have a situation, Pat, when on a Saturday night your starting quarterback is on the trainer's table and his head is down and his right knee is taped up with ice and you're not sure what's going to happen next and he responds the way he did, that can really change a football team. And it's funny how it works. That's just the nature of the beast. Now, Willie, he was limited, but you never knew it. He never showed it. He hit his throws. He was not, he's not reluctant to run. And when you go for 72 yards rushing on top of it all, you're not sliding out there, and only two of the five were called runs, which is what they were, that really silences some critics, and that really earns you a lot of street cred in that room.
Yeah, I was going to say, these are performances that can maybe win over guys in the room.
Well, last night, post-game, Darvin Adams, who got four balls for 127 yards and a touchdown, he's a rookie receiver on this Bombers team, a first-year receiver, third-year CFLer. He got the game ball, and what does he do? He walks it over to Drew Willey and hands it over. Now, when you talk about wanting, the quarterback has to be the leader of that team and the leader of the room and take things over. When the dude who gets the game ball hands it over to your quarterback, what does that do? A third of the season, it reminds everybody, that's our guy. That's the guy we believe in. That's the guy we're going to rally around. That's a big win for the Bombers, but that was a huge, huge accomplishment for the psyche of that team and for where Drew Willey ranks in the pecking order of that locker room.
Tell me a little bit more about Darvin Adams, because you mentioned the game he had last night. Four catches, 127 yards, and a touchdown. Had quite the college career, but what's he doing? How'd he end up in the CFL?
Well, when you talk about a college career, here's a guy who, in 2010, in the SEC championship game with Auburn, went on to win a national championship. Cam Newton was the quarterback. He had over 200 receiving yards. He was one of the dynamic players in the SEC. And then after his junior year, he actually declared for the NFL draft, much to the chagrin of many of the people at Auburn, who apparently badmouthed him, and he didn't get drafted, and he was on the street. He went into arena football and some indoor time. Then Darvin Adams comes out and says the people at Auburn actually offered him cash to stay, and this was amidst that whole Cam Newton scandal and some NCAA violations. So he ended up with the Argos for a couple of years, and Toronto had a log jam there at receiver, and they brought in some talented guys. And suddenly he shows up in Winnipeg, and with Nick Moore shelved last night, Adams has become, you guys saw him in Calgary. He has become one of the real dynamic receivers for Drew Willey in that offense. That's the one intriguing thing about the CFL, guys. They come in all shapes and sizes with so many different stories and so many different backgrounds. In college, he was the can't-miss prospect who was supposed to light the NFL on fire. Probably made a mistake by declaring early, and here we go.
It's funny, you watch the opening drive of that football game, and I think it was 14 plays, 95 yards. The BC drives down the field. Travis Lule looked like nobody was going to be able to touch him all night. They don't score a touchdown after making it 7-0 early on. Kind of odd to see that, specifically knowing what Jeff Tedford's reputation is.
Yeah, Jeff Tedford is supposed to be this quarterback whisperer, you know. Aaron Rodgers and David Carr and Trent Dilfer and all these NFL guys that he's developed. But, yeah, I mean, Pat, they score on that opening drive. It was impressive, 14 plays, 95 yards, and then nothing. No more touchdowns. Travis Lule with two bad picks, including one late in the game, throwing off his back foot down 10 to Damon Washington. Look, the defense really, to me, is not a concern there in BC. They showed man looks. They showed zone looks. Two-man looks. I mean, they're mixing it up over there. But Tedford has two wins, one by absolute fluke at home in overtime against Saskatchewan. And I get it's not how, it's just how many. But he was supposed to come in and light the world on fire. And they were very bullish on what he's doing. And to me, you know, look, their only two wins come against Saskatchewan. And I think there are some significant football concerns there in BC, to say nothing of the fact that there were as many Blue Jay fans in Seattle the week of a BC Lions home game, and for the first time ever on the same weekend, the Whitecaps outdrew the Leos at BC Place.
With Arash Madani, our CFL insider here on The Big Show, you know, normally I would look at the schedule and go, wow, the marquee matchup this weekend is probably Calgary and Montreal by default, but it really isn't. You got to look at that game on Monday in Hamilton, don't you? A battle for top spot. The Tiger Cats finally come home. Two quarterbacks that are pretty familiar. I mean, it's got all the makings for a good one.
Yeah, it certainly does, Rob. And, you know, first of all, it's Toronto-Hamilton, and it's going to be on a holiday Monday, and it's going to be outdoors, and it's a Tiger Cats home opener because of the Pan Am Games. And it's two teams playing for first in the East. And, oh, yeah, the two quarterbacks used to be teammates, both as understudies to Ricky Ray. Remember, Zach Collaros was first, Ricky Ray's backup in Toronto. Trevor Harris was the number three at the time. Then Collaros goes to Hamilton in free agency. Harris, of course, was the number two. Ricky Ray, you know, remains the number one, except he hasn't played it down yet. And now they've lengthened his recovery time from off-season surgery. Harris and Collaros are slowly, along with Bo Levi Mitchell, becoming some of the real, you know, quarterback stars in this league. And this has the makings to be an absolute shootout between both those quarterbacks and both these teams.
So you mentioned Ray is going to be out a little bit longer. Normally, you know, it's not a hard and fast rule. Normally, you don't lose your job to injury. But what are they saying in Toronto about Trevor Harris? Because this guy's been lights out.
Well, first on Ricky Ray. Initially, the talk was early August, he's going to come back. Then it was, it's going to be a little bit longer. Then it was, we're not in a rush. Now it's around Labor Day. So it's another, what, Rob, 5 weeks from now, the earliest that Ray may return in the mix. And in large part, they're giving him a lot of time because Harris is getting it done. Now, I talked to a couple people inside that locker room. I'm like, well, what's the story with this guy? And the first thing that jumped off the page to me, son of a coach. Right, just like Scott Milanovich is the son of a coach, just like Drew Tate. I mean, it's one of those situations where, you know, he's one of the first to show up on the last leave, a real calm demeanor in the huddle. I mean, they've started the season on the road. They still haven't played a game here at Rogers Center. And, you know, he's been in some hostile environments, and he's as cool as a cucumber. You know, student of the game, takes notes, in the film room quite some time. And that's reflective on the field. There hasn't been a situation, even down 21-0, where he's panicked and hasn't looked the part of a poised veteran. And when you have that from your backup, That means suddenly the loss of Ricky Ray isn't that tough to absorb.
Hey, do the Riders stand any type of chance with Brett Smith starting at quarterback against those Eskimos in their defense tonight?
No, they don't. And the Riders right now, you got to think, you know, suddenly they're going to be vying for, with the, you know, are the Red Blacks and the Riders going to swap records from last year? I mean, that's how ugly it is there, you know, and I don't say that in jest. It's unfortunate. I know you guys don't care in Calgary. I'm sure many Stampeder fans are you know, quite elated over this. But you lose two quarterbacks. That's what's going to happen. The question now becomes for Saskatchewan is how much of this roster, you're in full evaluation mode, even though they won't admit it. How much of this roster is going to be part of your future? That's what they're looking at right now.
What's going on with a former Rider and the 2013 Grey Cup MVP? Because he hasn't been seen in the Canadian Football League since that Riders Grey Cup victory a couple of years ago.
Okay, so Corey Sheets, remember him? Went off against Hamilton in the 101st Grey Cup at home. Was the MVP of that Grey Cup, as you mentioned, Pat. Went to Oakland. I'm not sure if you remember that following offseason. Blew out his Achilles with the Raiders and has not resurfaced in pro football since. His last game was that Grey Cup. Funny how the world works. Colleague of mine down in Florida orders up an Uber, and Corey Sheets, driving the Uber car in Tampa, telling him the story that he hopes to get back into the league and he's trying to talk to Saskatchewan and get back in. I'm told his Achilles is nowhere near healed. He's trying to get back in football. It's amazing how quickly things go and how quickly things change. If he can get the Achilles rehab, maybe, you know, he is a running back, and those are the positions that are so expendable. But that's the story of Corey Sheets these days and what he's up to.
Wow.
That's incredible.
No, that's, yeah. Well, it's an unforgiving game.
While you can, fellas.
No, absolutely.
Right? Do not, if a player is holding out, don't criticize the guy. It's the system of non-guaranteed contracts and how it works that really makes an impact. So
don't disagree with that at all. Before we let you go, so everything's all said and done, the team you've been covering this week, the press conferences you've been going to, are you less or more, I hate to use the word confident, but maybe that's the right word, that this is now a playoff team in Major League Baseball that you were watching in Toronto?
Well, Rob, they're better. They're a lot better. They just add a Cy Young pitcher in David Price, which... that David Price is in this rotation for the next, you know, two and change months is remarkable. Where they were on Monday compared to where they are now is night and day. You know, okay. Their bullpen is deeper. Their infield is shored up. Their starting rotation is incredibly improved. They're in much better shape.
How's the food at Blue Jays news conferences? This is the most important question of the day.
Well, it's bottles of water. On ice.
Well, at least it's on ice. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, since you went down...
Sunny on the rocks.
Since you went down that path, I got to know, is the popcorn really that good?
No.
Okay.
No.
So
no, it's not.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. We're Rogers employees.
It's the best.
Popcorn.
Yeah.
It's the best stuff you've ever had.
Well, David Price thinks it is. Listen, you've been very generous with your time, and you've been doing great work all week. Thanks for doing this, pal.
All right, boys. Always good.
Bye, Arash.
There you go. Arash Madani. Uber driver, and it's Corey
Uber Sheets. Driver? That's unbelievable.
It's what we talked about.
It's still not here, right? Like, I'm not going to sit because I really have no opinion on it. In fact, I specifically, my one cab company,
a cab company?
Well, the one, my preferred one. I won't give any names, but...
Why wouldn't you?
The free advertising. I like yellow cabs. It's the one I go with.
But is that the color of the vehicle or is that the company?
Well, the both.
Okay.
Yellow checker cabs. I like to ride with them.
Yeah.
And I would say every second time I get in one of the vehicles, it's on our station, and they are hardcore listeners.
There you go.
I would say once every two episodes of Overtime, one of our great taxi drivers will give us a call. So
yeah.
I am firmly
in their camp.
Yep. But I was like, Uber's not here, right? Like, it's not in Calgary?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
But when I was in Florida, when we were at the draft, you were there too. When I was at the draft, we were the last day I went out for dinner with a buddy who lives in Florida. And he was telling me all about Uber coming to Orlando and Miami and all, mm-hmm. and just like the massive controversies.
Oh, yeah.
Of like revolts and
look
all
at
that
New
type
York.
Of stuff. Yeah,
they've had protests and things like that. You know, we're living in. I mean, Pat, just think about it. This show alone is representative of the change, the social upheaval that we're going through, not just in Canada but around the world. Dad bods,
dad
right?
bod.
My daughter's now streaming television shows to
watching TV on FaceTime.
FaceTime,
yeah.
And now Uber. We are plugged
driven
in.
Driven by former Canadian Football League MVPs.
Ay.
That's about par for the riders' course, though. Like, yeah, you're 0-5. Corey Sheets is now driving cars he's an Uber driver. It all kind of fits with the way the year's gone for the riders.
I don't disagree with you. A week from today, we're going to be live on location at one of our homes away from home. Love going to Adrenaline Source for sports on McLeod Trail South. Come by and try out some of the new hockey gear. They've got, of course, Adrenaline Alley. We'll be live at Adrenaline Source for sports 1 week from today here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, Ben Nicholson-Smith from Sportsnet will join us. We'll talk about the Major League Baseball trade day. It was busy, Pat. It was NHL-like, Pat. Normally, Major League Baseball trade deadline, a couple of deals. It was busy. And the Mets got something done. And this time, the dude didn't cry. It's been
very
busy.
True.
There's no crying in baseball. Barry Midori, who's looking after the coaches for the under-17 summer showcase over at Winsport, is going to join us at 5 o'clock. Josh Humphreys sets up the Alouettes.
Whoa. We're really pulling out the big guns.
My, oh my.
I've been taking quite the beating from him on text today. So.
Oh, have you?
So
no, fair enough.
He deserves it.
And then
they haven't even sniffed it.
That girl was pretty.
And then...
What was that?
Was that a pop-up?
You know it was.
Oh, please. Man. It wasn't an adult site, was it?
No.
Okay, we're not getting hacked, are we?
No. Just wanted to read an article about the Beijing hosting the Olympics.
Yeah, Beijing is going to host the Olympics.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then Calgary after that, but I've said too much.
Beijing to just host an Olympics?
First time ever that the same
city.
Well,
now you're giving it all away.
Never happened before, Pat. I don't know what you're talking
about. Oh, yeah,
because,
Will, everybody's like, I can't wait for Will's Olympic updates.
Yeah.
No. He was going to say an interesting fact.
And I was
going to ruin
headlines.
I don't think, like, well, I've set my clock for about 4:12 for when Will gives us the interesting Beijing
Olympic tidbits.
Can I just say?
I'm just saying.
Can I just say?
I love you.
At 5:45, Randy Chevrier is going to come on, and it'll be a bizarre conversation. That
is
involves...
it better than the last time that we had Chevrier on, and
yes.
Our equipment didn't work?
Yes. It involves beef jerky, Star Trek, and cold weather 2-point conversions. That's all you need to know. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sports is really important to you. It's all we do all the time. Proud to serve the best fans in Canada. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 CFL insider Arash Madani is brought to you by Varsity Chrysler, home of Calgary's best selection of new and pre-owned vehicles. Go to varsitychrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.